How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the Jesse Nyberg podcast. We're here with Louis Moss. I'm sure you know him from his own channel or previous episodes. And to start it off, I just want to say thank you for coming on. I was in a little pinch, had someone cancel on me, and my man came straight from the bar to the little studio to record.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of fine, to be fair. I literally just finished work, went for a couple of bevs, and yeah, obviously got your message on the train home, just eating a chili so quickly. And yeah, we're on the pod. So I've had a few beers, but it's all good. We're ready to go.
For sure. How, last time we chatted was probably maybe a full year ago now, or maybe a little bit less. How have you been since then? What's new?
Yeah, a little bit less. Yeah, I know. I feel like a lot has changed, but not a lot looks like it's changed. Yeah, in a sense. I've been very antisocial. When I last came on the pod, I remember I was bigging it up. I was like, yeah, this year you're going to see so much on the Lumos channel, the YouTube channel, Seaside Club. It's all going to be popping off by the end of this. Yeah. Like, you know, there's so much to come. And I've just been, been slacking. I've been on, I've been working lots, but not on the socials. I've been working on other stuff, unfortunately. Fortunately, but not unfortunately. So, but yeah, lots changed. It's all been good. Yeah, lots changed.
It's always hard to, I try not to say stuff because I don't want to not do it, I try to just wait until I do something and then I say, all right, here it is. Because every time I talk about something, whether it's some exciting client project I'm about to work on or some plans I have, then it falls through and everyone's like, yo, where's that thing? And you're like,
oh. I messed up. I talked it up too much. I messed up, but it's all good.
Yeah, it is all good. I was just watching your video before this, your vlog, and appreciate the shout out, by the way. That was funny. I commented on the video before I got to that part so that I went and edited the comment. I was like, oh shit, thanks. It's funny because I think when you create, you probably know this because we've talked about it. When you create stuff, you're always kind of self-conscious or a little bit worried about how it's going to come off. And to hear you say that's aesthetic or whatever, I was surprised because I filmed that shit on my phone, and I was just messing around.
Yeah, big time. I remember we spoke not too long ago and we're just talking about our content and stepping away from maybe the standard format that what we've done before, that standard on screen, you've got the camera and your screen recording. It's very instruction based. It's very teacher student format. Yeah. And we've spoken a lot about kind of wanting to step away from that. I guess that's the difference with the podcast. It's very social. It's very, we spoke about that stuff and I was filming this video and I've been editing it and I filmed a few bits of it, editing a bit more. And I was 90% edited. And so I was just uploaded Day in the Life. And I'm oh yeah, watch that one. And then I was oh my God, it looked so much nicer. And I was oh no. And it even had the alarm clock intro. And I was I've gone for the alarm clock intro too. We're all the same. We're all the same, really.
Dude, so, I know. I've been watching other people too. And I'll whether it's on Instagram or YouTube, they'll throw something out there that's I'm just about to finish. And then I hit them up. I'm I swear, I had this idea at the same time as you, I'm not just putting this out right after you. Cause it feels that way sometimes. I've felt that way towards other people and they've felt that way towards me. But no, I think we're all just the same fucking person,
I think so too. Literally, I think everyone's exactly the same, just living in a different area other than that, all the same.
It was rewarding though. What was that?
I was you got the filter coffee going on, you got
it's a little cliche sometimes. It's funny though because there's just levels to this shit, because I watch other people's vlogs and shit and it's so cinematic and they're 4K and it's just amazing, and I'm looking at those holy shit, I need to get a fucking crazy ass Sony camera with all these lenses and stuff. But some of those people are filmmakers and things, so it's kind of hard to compare yourself to that,
I got this new camera and I've got a decent camera, decent lens, and I've just I wasn't up to vlogging on it. Like, you know, when I was walking in the street, I was like, there's no way I'm ready to be holding like, the full setup, walking down the street with the camera and the lens going. Yeah. And I was like, I'm whipping the phone out. So I ain't ready for that life yet. Yeah. You got to build up to that. That's a bit of a, you got to build up to that lifestyle. I'm not there quite yet, but good to see what life's like in LA, man. It looks happening. It looks like a lot of stuff's going on.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's definitely like I tried to make it a little more interesting than maybe a normal. I don't go out to fucking out in the town for lunch every day or anything like that. Usually I'm like more like on your vibe eating like the sandwich or whatever. Yeah. But I was like, you know,
that's the ideal.
I've been reading this book. It's called like Unfair Advantages, I think, or Unfair Advantage. And it's all about like teaching you and learning about like what are these things. It's like about startups and entrepreneurs, and it's like, what do you have that's like your unfair advantage? That and they define that as like something that someone can't just get within like the next day or whatever. So like my unfair advantage, I guess, in this YouTube space would be I live out here, so like I might as well use that, you know, like go show like LA or be like, this is Los Angeles. And like, it's not like I think I'm fucking cool or anything for living out here, but one thing I realized is that people are always going to be interested in places that they don't live, you know?
So
I'm always watching shit about New York or London or whatever, like, oh, what's going on over there? Like, you know, especially like the rave scene and stuff in like Europe, I'm always like, oh, it looks so cool. And then other people are like, oh, you live in LA, like you must be you know, seeing like Brad Pitt every day out there on Hollywood Boulevard or whatever. I'm like, nah.
Yeah. No, it is that everyone just like, it's that dream, isn't it? Like looking at those places you haven't lived at before, you know, you haven't been before, is, you know, people find that interesting. So you know, I'll probably be more interested in watching, you know, videos from people that don't live in the area I do, purely because I don't live in that area. You know, if I moved to LA tomorrow, I probably wouldn't be as interested in LA, you know. It's just, this is one of those things. But yeah.
It's like exciting. We were talking about the, you mentioned we were kind of talking about pivoting a little bit in the YouTube space because, I mean, people maybe don't know this or maybe they do, like, it gets kind of boring just like creating tutorials and shit. Like, maybe they help people and that part's rewarding, but like, I wouldn't necessarily say that it's like fun, you know, like just being like, this is how you do this. This is how you do this. Like having to explain everything like so specifically, it gets a little bit like, it feels a lot more like work, you know, and just kind of like draining in a way. And that video of the day in the life, the fact that it did well, was pretty like, what's the word? Like, I guess affirming or whatever. Like it made me feel like, oh shit, like I can do these other things. It seems like people like mess with it because we both already wanted to do that. And the fact that if we see that it's like, it works too, then that's like a win-win, you know?
Big time. It's probably one of the reasons I've been so like bad at posting on a regular basis is because like, these two, like, I guess the main thing is like, I know some like people are going to watch it and they, you know, people want to know that stuff. Like I got a little brother who's in design and he's always like, oh, how'd you do this? How'd you do that? And I'm always like, I'm going to record a tutorial anyway. Like you can go watch that and follow along. But yeah, it isn't as enjoyable as, I guess that's why I haven't posted as much is because I wasn't really loving doing that sort of stuff. And like, I know it's probably going to get a bit more views, but I don't really love doing it to be fair. I don't mind. Like it's not, you know, it's nothing bad, but it's just like, I'm not really like passionate about making tutorials really. So I guess that's like where we were talking about like how we can sort of step away from that but still have that creative lens on creating content and things that people are going to like and people, you know, things that we're going to enjoy creating, but like how can we create something slightly different? It's not so, you know, clinical and informative. It's like very like on screen, you know, with this other thing and you're cutting between two and it's very like people who aren't in design, who aren't graphic designers, not necessarily going to find it an enjoyable watch, I think, which is something I've been thinking about a lot. Like I want anyone who's in any creative industry or, you know, just your average person to find it interesting and want to follow along and, you know, your day in the life, for instance, you don't have to be like a, you know, a hardcore graphic designer who knows the ins and outs of Photoshops to follow along and find that an enjoyable piece of content and relate to you. anyone can watch that and be like, oh, this is cool. You know, oh, I like this guy's creative process, this, that, and the other. So, yeah.
Exactly. I think that's... It's funny, you tell your brother, like, you're going to have to wait for the tutorial, kid.
Like, yeah, I'm like, you ain't getting any high-class treatment, mate. Like, you're going to have to, like, wait for the tutorial and you make sure you smash the like button on that one as well.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it's also, you know, you're one of the probably first people to make stuff about this, but, like, how many more Chrome types and like ink bleed tutorials do we need? You know, like I see a new one like every day, and like everyone gets like fucking 50K plus views. And it's like, I could just do this if I wanted to and like get the, it's like free money, you know, or whatever. But it's kind of like, why wouldn't I just direct people to like your tutorial or someone else that already did it? It's like, we're like, we're supposed to be these creative people, but we come up with this, we can't come up with new ideas, you know, like there's so many things that I don't know how to do that people still haven't made tutorials on, but then we're still kind of recycling like the same shit. It's weird.
Yeah, I feel like it's just like that easy route, I guess. But it's like, it's the steps that people take in a lot of, in that creative process. They're like, okay, well, I'm gonna start with this. This is what I know. And then they move on to the next thing. And you know, this is exactly where I started. And you move down the line and you gradually figure out what you want to do and what you like doing. And then you start incorporating more of your own style and you gradually move towards that space.
Right.
I think a lot of the graphic designers like me, like you, like the other people who are popping up there, we're very new in this sort of black background, dark aesthetic YouTube tutorial space. Like it's kind of like a past few years, it's sort of all grown. I guess everyone's still trying to figure out what the right path is, I guess, in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not the same traditional path as, like, I don't know, a fashion vlogger who's like, this is, you do this, this sort of stuff. Still, everyone's still kind of figuring out, like, how they, as a graphic designer, make it as a content creator as well.
You know, when I was in school, like, all these kids I see online, like, they're super talented and they have, you know, all these followers and whatnot. And like, it's crazy to me to think like some of these people are like 16, 17, 18 or whatever, because when I was in like college and or university, I didn't like, none of my classmates had like, none of them were popular online or any of that shit. Like they didn't even post like designs. They just posted pictures of them like at the bar or some shit. Like I feel like, it's like a whole different like world to see like some of these like kids and shit. Like I feel like they're gonna be like super good when they're like even in their 20s or whatever, because they're already in the scene and like learning and like just taking in all this information at once.
Yeah, big time. I mean, this is one of those things that you shouldn't compare yourself, like, mate, honestly, like I look about like 12 still, I don't age, but yeah, I'm late 20s now, like 20, I'm pushing 30 in the next couple of years.
Yeah,
I look back at these kids or like people who are coming up now and I'm like, oh, you guys have like, you're always way ahead of where I am. Like
for
all these followers, you're doing this, you're doing that. I'm comparing myself to these younger people who have got so much more. And I'm like, oh, I haven't made it because of that. But it's not, that's not the way to look at it really. Like everyone's on their own sort of journey, figuring out how they're getting down the line sort of thing. Like you should never compare yourself to someone else and they're just, 'cause they're completely different. They might have completely different circumstances, their life's completely different. Like, you know, everyone's on their own individual sort of journey. You know, you could be 60, 70, just starting out as a graphic designer. It doesn't mean it's like, you know, that's it. You're done out, because there's all these 18-year-olds who've done it. You know, you're just starting your journey and you might get where you are. Like,
it's like, it's kind of corny or whatever, but they have that quote that's like the best time to start on something was yesterday, but the second best time is right now or whatever. Cause it's so easy to be like, that. And like, I see these kids sometimes, I think I've talked about this on an older podcast. They're like 16. They've reached out to me like, oh, like I'm not getting like enough clients or whatever. And I'm like, clients, like, what do you mean clients? Like go out and like, hang with your friends, like go ride your bike or do whatever. Like you're 16 years old. Like I didn't even know what a client was when I was 16. Like I was out like smoking weed behind the school and shit.
Mate, I was a proper skate rat until like 18, 19. Like, I didn't leave the skate park.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, there's too much pressure, I think, on people at a younger age that they have to like make it in this certain way, especially in the social social scene. Like this whole social world and followers and this young age, like you don't have to make it at this young age. I'm still like, you know, I'm 20, almost 27. I'm still young in the grand scheme of things. If I haven't made it now, that's fine. There's still so many years. Like it's still, you know, there's this pressure that you have to make it like a super young or you haven't made it like by a certain age. And it's just not right. It's not true. Like that isn't a true representation of like how life works. Yeah, you don't need to make it by this young age. Like you're still figuring things out. Like I know people like my parents' age, they're just still figuring their life out and they're like, you know, 50s, you know.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it at this age. Just do what you want to do. Enjoy what you want to do and figure it out. And it will eventually come. But if it doesn't, like, don't worry about it. Like,
I think too, like we see so much like the internet, you know, we have so much access to like design, you know, being an actor, whatever you're trying to do, the people you see online, like a lot of times they're the very best people at that thing, right? So it's easy to look at that and be like, oh, I want to do that. But at the end of the day, like you shouldn't feel bad if you don't even ever get there, because that's like some of these people are like in like the one percentile of like whatever their career is, you know, like you can't if everyone was the best, then that no one would be the best, you know, like obviously people are always going to be better, worse, whatever. But whatever, enough of that. What I wanted to ask you about another thing was, I was watching your vlog thing, and I liked how you incorporated the like design though too. Like I've been thinking of ways to kind of like not full on just be like, this is my life, but also like maybe incorporate the client work or whatever. I had never really thought of that. That was a good idea. And I saw you doing the logos, and I was wondering, when you do, like, I do the same, like, kind of thing, right? So for anyone, if they haven't watched it, you were presenting, like, the idea that they kind of wanted, something more, like, out there, and then something maybe, like, that's, like, proper, you think, good design or whatever. Which one do you think that, do you find it hard to, like, do they usually choose the one that you like or resort back to, like, what you get, the one you gave them that they wanted?
So the way I normally structure it is, like, I always normally present at least a minimum of three different routes. Like, it depends on how big the client is, how big the project is. Sometimes I've done routes up to, like, five or six different routes. But especially for a branding project, like, you want to offer them something different for each route, right? You don't want to have any too similar, because they'll start Frankensteining ideas. They'll be like, I like this one, but I kind of like this one as well. And what I want to do is merge those two together. What you end up is like this mismatch of
some bullshit
stuff. They're like, I like this. And they try to put it together, and it's not right. Then things don't go together. But the way I normally present like these routes is, you normally have, they've already come to you with an idea, and sometimes they'll give you references, or sometimes they will give you, I copy this logo, I want this logo, I want this. They have an idea of what they want. So the first route I always do is I kind of direct exactly what they want and exactly what they're asking for. Specific, like, you know, if they give me references, I'm like, bang, on the nose of what you want. The second one, I always go for a little bit more, like push it out there. Kind of what they want, kind of what they reference, but like a safe version of what I think they might want, but it's also kind of cool or whatever. Like it's a middle ground. And then I always go for the third one, that's either a way out there version, that's like, they're probably not going to like it, but it's like what I think is really cool, or something I really like, or something I know in the design world is really cool, or something that I just, personally think myself, this is what I think is right for this. And then they're presented then with the three options, where they have their idea there in front of them, and they have this other idea, and then they have this final idea, which is usually the one that I think is right. But why do I think it's right? Like, it doesn't mean I'm right. It's like, it's completely subjective. Any piece of anything, you know, design wise is subjective. At the end of the day, it's not, the problem is this, the client work is, it's not your design, it's for them. And it's not necessarily for your portfolio. You're designing to fill a need for them. You're meeting their brief, and it doesn't necessarily mean that it's portfolio worthy, or it's a piece of design that you personally would like to do, but you're just correctly meeting their brief. You can always advise them on what you think is right, but if they don't agree, then you who are you to argue against what they want? They're paying you for a service at the end of the day. There's only a certain level of you know, pushing right. it to what you want to do, there's only a certain level you can do. So yeah, I normally have those, yeah, three routes.
That's almost like the journey I think a lot of designers go through, where when I was younger, it was I'm like your slave, you know, like whatever you want, like I'm doing it that way. Like I'm just trying to get this, like whatever $50 that you're paying me for this logo. Yeah. And I'm like 16 or whatever. Then you kind of start to know what you're doing and you're like, nah, man, like you need this crazy, like Y2K thing or like this super cool, like minimal mark. And you're like, you kind of know, you know enough to know that, like, but you're still kind of wrong. Like this ain't the right thing for the job.
Yeah.
And then you get into that zone. And then once you get like kind of better and you start to learn, you realize how to give them what they want, but also like design it well, you know, like kind of morph it into. And then sometimes clients will tell me things like, whoa, like this, like we never thought of it this way, but like this is perfect. And then I try not, like not to be like cocky, but I'm like, yeah, that's like, that's why you hired me, right? Like, cause you didn't think 100%. Of it this way.
Yeah. And it feels good when that happens. Can always go one of two ways. Like, can always go like that's the ideal scenario, is you present them with this thing that you like and that you've done and you're confident in and you know is right. That's the ideal. But then, you know, there is the other half of the time, so they're like, no, I want to go with mine and actually take this off and do this, and they want it just how they want it,
right?
And it often isn't something you're necessarily proud of, but it doesn't make it wrong, you know. It's what they want and they've asked for that. It might not be the best design thing, but they are happy with it. It's kind of that tough medium where it's like, that's not going in the portfolio, but they are satisfied and that's what they want.
Right.
So I don't know, but sometimes you just need to hope that, you know, sometimes you get the clients that are like, look, I trust your judgment on these things. I want you to do what you think is right, sort of thing. But then sometimes you don't get that, but yeah, that's it. People like different stuff, so.
And if I always like kind of think about it in context, you know, like if this is like a really good paying project or this client is someone that I respect and like they're gonna probably even give me more work and whatever, it's like at the end of the day, you're supposed to like make them happy, you know. It doesn't matter about like your portfolio or you know, using Helvetica or whatever the fuck you're trying to do for like this outdoor company, you know. Like at the end of the day, they're like, oh, you gotta kind of throw them a bone or whatever. What do you think though, what I've been, so you've probably seen this yourself and I've been thinking about it after recording that video I did on like recently with ranking the fast food logos, and like there, you know how like all these brands are like oversimplifying the logo, like a lot of the fashion brands and things, like you even see like Saint Laurent and Balmain and all that. Now they're just like sans serif, right? Like super simple.
You Burberry,
why do you think that everyone's doing that? You know,
I don't know. Like everyone is a trend of like people modernize things, people simplify things. Like it's just that process is it's a trend thing, isn't it?
So like it's not better, I would say. You know, like it's, I wouldn't it's say kind it's of better, dry. No.
It is dry. It works for the odd company that has it first, or you know, has done it and it stands out, and then everyone else does it, and then suddenly it's the norm again, and then someone will do something else to then be different from the norm, and then everyone else will do that and that and that. It's just a cycle of trends, and it will do that for forever. It will never stop. Like it will just keep going and going and going. It's how it happens. You look at, I was just looking back at some early like 2000s, you know, like early MSN days and like things that were trendy then, like the Microsoft Word, like media player things that like come up, and that was like really cool then. It's so outdated now. You know, you look at all the, you always look back at these old logos, like you look at any logo, for instance, and it'll be like the history of their logos, and it's always like, you know, 2020, 2010, whatever, and it's like 1950, and it's like the best logo they've ever had, and we're like, we love that, why don't you bring that logo back? But back then that was the norm, and then everyone else had their logo, it was like in the same way, and they've upgraded it to be different or to be with the times. And it's only now we look back and like it. So yeah, again, we'll probably look back in 50 years time and be like, oh, look, when Burberry had that clean classic sans serif typeface, that was so sick, they need to bring that back. Now
that's true,
I don't know, they don't even have a logo anymore, it's just like a 3D digital gradient that spins in a cube or something, I don't know, like whatever it is in the future.
You just own like a piece of the plaid pattern as like an NFT, like or some shit, like that's their whole logo. It's funny because that's the same way with, you know, when I did that, I did a poll when I made that video asking like what people's favorite logos were. And a lot of people were referencing the new Burger King and the new Pizza Hut. And then, you know, I already was aware of this, but looking more into like, yeah, those histories where they show, those are just the like kind of optimized versions of the ones they used to have. They just brought back like the retro or whatever. And everyone's like, it's so cool. And I'm like, yeah, it was always cool since like 1950. They just were like, fuck it. Like, we don't need this like 3D gradient thing anymore. So let's bring it back to the OG.
Yeah. People love like the nostalgia, and it's why everyone is obsessed with the 90s. Like, it's done out to too much now, but everyone just loves the idea of nostalgia. That's why the whole our age group, like the 90s, that aesthetic was just rinsed and rinsed and rinsed in this digital age now, because, you know, obviously everything's digital. Every campaign was, oh, how do we do a 90s? Us doing 90s themed everything. It just gets rinsed because people love the idea of nostalgia. And that's like the Burger King one is like a 60s take, right? That's what they had in the 60s. Yeah. People love that because it's like that nostalgic, that look back. Like, but if that was it the whole time, they would, you know, they wouldn't care about it now. If that was it the whole time, they would still be like, oh, Burger King logo is so cool. They'd probably look at what it was before that, or, you know, it's just,
you see the old ones too, and they're always like drawn with like a piece of charcoal or some shit, you know, like the ones from like 1920 or whatever. It's like you can't even like read it or anything. It's like a little stamp.
That'll like be back soon, honestly. You give it 10 years, mate, and you'll be like, mate, that charcoal aesthetic was the one. Do you know what I mean? We bring it back.
I'm curious to see, like, so, because I'm sure when you were in school too, like, they kind of implanted this thing in your head where, like, you know, a logo has to be, like, be able to work, like, in black, like, print, digital, web, like, color, like, kind of be simple enough to, like, stand out, but, like, and like work on all these different scales. But as the internet grows and, you know, Web3 and like people using more 3D stuff, companies being like only digital, it's interesting to see how a lot of new companies, their logo wouldn't work at all, like in like a single color or like in print. It's like a gradient, you know, or like some kind of crazy pattern. And I'm curious, like, if that's going to be, you know, the new thing. Like, we don't need the, because eventually I could see a world where we don't print things at all ever, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't think it's too far away, to be fair.
Like, we all just walk around like naked and you have like a headset and it shows like what you're wearing in like a virtual world or some shit, you know?
It sounds stupid, but I genuinely don't think it's that, like, not that it's not that far away, but it's not, we're at a point in time where these things are not too stupid to imagine, you know? Like, the ultimate like Black Mirror world. Are you familiar with the series like Black Mirror?
Yeah.
Like, it's scary how you're like, oh, that's so similar. And that is just, they're all just real scenarios that are already happening.
I know. That's why that show's so like eerie, because it's like,
it's
like they figure out something that could actually happen and then they just give it like 5-10% more, a little bit too crazy. So where you feel like, oh, they'll never do that. Like, they'll never be like bees that record you or whatever. But then, like, now we have that already with like little hidden cameras and shit. So it's kind of like
little drones, But I don't know, like, the things change, the world changes, technology changes. And I think everything keeps up with technology. And as it does, everything else sort of follows along with that, whether that's branding, brand identity. You know, how is branding going to look like in this metaverse that everyone, you know, this whole digital world, like, you know, like Ready Player One sort of headset on? What does branding look like then? You don't have to care about something being a flat print logo then. You don't have to, you know, doesn't matter anymore. Like, it's a completely different way to approach a branding project. Like, it just changes with the time.
I'm working on a branding project right now. It's weird because I'm kind of breaking down the project, and I'm normally like, we'll do this, we'll have this branded, like, we'll get you, like, you know, your guidelines and your logo and your colors and your fonts. And then, but I'm starting to think like half of this shit won't even matter for this company. Like, they probably need like, what color are their like Discord roles going to be or whatever, you know,
exactly,
or like what shit like that. And it's almost like you have to completely because like, I don't think they'll ever create like, you know, stationary, so why the fuck am I gonna mock up like a envelope or whatever,
you know? I know you're like mocking up like a letterhead, and you're mocking up like a business card, and like, you know, a fax or whatever, you know, like, this has never been used, this is not getting used,
right? It'd be like, more reasonable to mock up like a Roblox character with a t-shirt on
honestly Yeah, that's how it's going. And it's just like, oh, yeah. The whole NFT thing is like, the whole idea of like so much stuff, it's like so interesting. There's so much going on, but oh my, it's just become a buzzword for everyone to use the word NFT. They're like, why don't we just do an NFT? It's like, does anyone in here know how to buy an NFT? Has anyone here got an NFT? Does anyone know how to use one? Like, does anyone know how to save one? Like, why would we make that as an NFT when like no one knows how to buy one or hold one or what to do with one?
And it's all the companies that like their target audience is like 40, you know? So it's like, why the fuck you just make them like an actual baseball card? They'd probably rather have that, you know?
Yeah. Or it'd be like even like kids or whatever. And it'd be like, oh, why don't we just make them like this, you know, Minecraft NFT or something. I was just like, honestly, none of these kids are going to know what even an NFT is. They just think it's a 3D shape. They're
going to steal their mom's credit card and buy it.
Yeah. But it's interesting where the world is going, and the way things are changing.
It's crazy too, because you talk about the kids, and they're. I was reading this thing like the kids are the almost like most going to be to be converted into this like crypto and digital world, because all they do right now, especially when there was like the pandemic and all that, all they do is play video games. They buy things for their characters that are basically like, you know, NFTs are like social currency. Like, yo, I have this, you know, skin or this, that. So like when they turn 18, they're probably going to be like, oh, I want the, you know, like digital fucking new Jordans or whatever. Like they're going to just look at that the same way that, like our parents or whoever were like, yeah, collecting fucking comics or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's just going to be, and it's weird because I'm not like a huge NFT or like Web3 advocate, but it's interesting to see how, like, if you look at history, all the shit that we're saying right now, that's what the people were saying, like, about the internet or like email. Yeah. They were like, that shit will never, you know, no one's going to be texting. Like, yeah, right. Like, I got my pager or whatever, like, shit like that.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Big time. To be fair, like, I can't really say anything about it. Like, I'm a massive crypto advocate. Like, I love it. I've got a lot of money in crypto. Like,
yeah,
I'm obsessed with the world and just understanding this whole future of the technology. I think in a lot of these things are what I really back in a lot of ways. But I feel like it gets to the point where it becomes like everyone just jumps on something and they're like just use it as a buzzword, but doesn't necessarily mean anything or isn't the right thing to do. It's just like, this is new, let's do that. But it doesn't make sense to do that. But, you know, I fully believe in it. I genuinely think it's the way that everything's going, to be fair.
Like, yeah, and it's funny to see everything moves so slow. And like you're probably familiar with this because you're working at like a company now, right? Like an in-house.
Yeah, I work
so,
agency,
you know,
in-house agency.
Everything moves a lot slower, you know, like especially like, so you know you see people doing like campaigns and it's like some meme from like 8 months ago or whatever, and it's like because it took them like all this time to get that shit like approved and all that. So it's funny to see these companies be like, let's do like a like NFT, and then like they do it in like a year, you know, from like when they had the idea, and like everyone's like, what the hell is that? Like, we don't even use Ethereum anymore or some shit, or like whatever's happening at the moment. And I guess that was a little tangent, but my point I was trying to get at was, how has that been working at that? You're at like a new place, right? So like, what's your experience been with that?
Yeah, good. Yeah. I mean, I was agency before. I mean, that's why I'm probably lacking on the socials. Like everything I do on the socials or whatever is just like a kind of side thing. Since I've started all my socials, I've been working full time in different agencies. But yeah, just started a new agency. It's a much bigger agency than I was at before. Based in Shoreditch in London. Yeah, it's hectic, it's full on, it's busy. But it's a slightly different role as well. So it's like a creative design role, rather than just graphic designer. So I'm doing a lot of like coming up with the ideas of like campaigns and stuff, and then sort of putting it together and then pitching it to clients and things like that. So yeah, it's good. It's giving
more
me a
like
lot of
art
experience.
Director type of thing, kind of.
Yeah, like it's a step in that direction, you know, that's obviously where like we want to end up in the future and that sort of role. It's definitely a step in that direction, you know, it's a step up the ladder, a step in, you know, a bit more, you know, I've got a lot more to do in my role, and it's a bit more what's the responsibility is what I'm trying to say. There's a lot more responsibility, and but it's definitely a step in the right direction. But yeah, it's a lot. It's busy, very busy. But
because I remember you posting like you had all those like gummy worms and shit.
Yeah. I work for Haribo, which is fun. That's working with Haribo at the moment. So yeah, we get a few freebies from them, which is it's nice. Even though, don't tell anyone, not really a sweet person, bit more of a chocolate sort of guy, but still don't mind a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's all good. Free shit, it's all good, you know.
It's all good.
Outside of that, do you still do freelance and stuff, or do you put all your kind of energy into the agency work?
I've done a lot of freelance before. Obviously, when you're coming up through, it wasn't like, you know, it's only last year even, that I was still a junior.
Right.
Now that midweight range, yeah. So, you know, I've only been out of uni, like coming up for like, 4-5 years, you know, I've not long since I made it out of that. So when you're in those junior ranks, is especially working, like we're living in somewhere like London, it's very expensive. Obviously freelance is like my fun money, basically. Like I have to freelance if I want to. It's so expensive to live here. Most of my rent, most of my salary goes on my rent and bills. Like I don't have a lot at the end of the day. So freelancing is almost like a means to buy those things I want, or if I want to save anything, really, I have to freelance, where it has been anyway for the last few years. So that's more of like you had to do it necessarily than like something I wanted to do. Not that I don't enjoy it, I do enjoy it. But you want your free time to yourself, you know, you want to do your things you actually like. You want to relax, you want to turn off, you want to switch off. It's only been really in the last 6 months that I've been able to really switch off in my free time, even if my work day is way more hectic. I'm doing more work at work, but I'm doing less work outside of work. Well, like it doesn't mean I won't ever freelance again. You know, if the right project comes along, then yeah. But yeah, I don't need to take on every single project at the moment, which is really good. So
yeah,
but I guess that's also made me a bit not lazy in my free time, but just I haven't done as much social led stuff in my free time because I don't necessarily have to. Which, you know, has its pros and cons to not doing that.
Yeah, when I was working at my job, like, you know, salary job, I was working whatever, maybe anywhere from 40 to maybe 60 hours if it's like some bullshit we're working on, you know, that was late and whatnot. And like you work on freelance or whatever on like Saturday. So it takes you like a whole month to do a project that you could kick out in like a week if you were just like freelancing on your own, you know, and then you just get like pretty like burnt out. I found that when you're working at a job too, like that's design. Sometimes the design you're doing isn't like the most fun, but you're still using these like heavy, like creative muscles and like you're just sitting at your screen. So when you're done, like you can't even be bothered to like, you know, create a poster or whatever the fuck like you're trying to post online.
100%. Like, it's just one of those things, isn't it? Like, yeah, like when I worked a long week, like I sat all day in front of like, you know, I'm designing, coming up with this, I'm thinking, I'm trying to be like creative and I'm like using my creative juices almost all day. Even if none of that work I can really show or be like, it's not my portfolio, it's not something I put on Insta to show like, or, you know, people watching or, you know, I still get home and I'm just like, I am done. Like, I don't want to sit there and like you were saying, like craft out a poster just for Instagram. Like, I don't want to do that. And there is that risk of burning out. And I think I was getting to that point where I was creatively burning out. I wasn't enjoying really being creative or designing really anymore because I was just doing too many. I was burning it at both ends, basically. Burning the candle at both ends, trying to spin too many plates. I wasn't really happy with any of them, really. But you kind of need to just focus on sometimes one thing at a time. And when I get to a point now where I'm comfortable, I've settled into my new job, getting, you know, up to grips with things, it's been a few months, then maybe I can start you know, working back again on other things, which is what I'm doing with like the YouTube and stuff now. But that's almost a different avenue. It's not necessarily as hardcore like design freelance sort of stuff. It's almost like a different creative,
it's like production.
And it's a bit of a change. So I think that's why that's more appealing than sitting there and grinding out Instagram posts, because it's just a sort of different creative route to go down.
Also, at the end of the day, like, we're trying to survive and make money and do whatever. Like, Instagram has to be the worst app ever created for, like, getting you anything out of it other than, like,
yeah,
attention or whatever. Like, that's all that it promises is like vanity and likes and followers. Like, all my best clients didn't come from Instagram. They came from like referrals and email and other stuff. The algorithm is like properly just like shit now, and like everyone just complains all day on the app. Like, everything I see on there is just people like, you know, dancing to like their songs, and then they'll throw up like their poster at the end or whatever, and it's just like fuck. Like, it feels like it's like a dystopian version of like a site for posting like creative work. So that's why I've been trying to like not really care about it as much anymore and just post shit on there when I can. And then sometimes though, like, you know, with the YouTube, the podcast, all this other shit, it feels like I have enough work to do every week, even without a client, you know? And then I'll get like a big client and I have to remember like that shit still comes first, 'cause like I need the money. But sometimes I'm like, oh, I got to figure out like, when am I going to make this video? Or like, I try to treat it like it has to be done or else I won't do it. You know, like I'll just fuck off for like months if I wasn't staying like consistent. And it's really interesting to like work for yourself fully like that, because if you're like, if you have a lot of things going on, you can really like fill out your schedule off of like nothing, almost like things that are just like, you know, content or whatever you want to call them. It's an interesting like world that to live in, because there's other people I know where they make way more money than me and all they have to do is work on like one project a month because they're so like sought after or whatever, like they've elevated to this super high level, you know.
I think it's very important, like, especially if you work for yourself, you need that. You need the, not necessarily the routine, but you need the, like, not the pressure. You need to be basically like, you have to do this, 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 and this, because you can easily slack or step away. If you don't have that, like, I guess there's a difference between working freelance and having a job. You've got someone down, you know, every job, you're like, this is your deadline. You've got these clients, you've got people waiting on you. You need to hit it by this day. It forces you to be very proactive and productive, I guess. If you don't necessarily have that like pressure, you might not necessarily be as regular and consistent as you want to be. Like, even with things such as the podcast, if you didn't, you know, if you didn't have someone down there every day, like saying like, you know, you need to do this, you might feel like you don't need to do it all the time. But then if you're like getting into a routine where you're like, I'm posting it every week, I can't miss one, you kind of force yourself into like making sure it's done on a regular basis. But I think that's very important if you're working for yourself. You kind of need that like motivation to
Points. Like, I could have, so I'm recording with you, like I could have just not done this and you know, done whatever, or took that this next week off, and it's like, it's not, nothing's gonna happen, like no one's gonna like get me in trouble or whatever for like missing a week of the podcast. But the way I look at it is like, if I can't even like commit to putting it out every week, like why should I expect anyone to care about it? You know? Yeah. So like, you have to almost like respect the thing you're doing first for other people to want to like enjoy it or whatever.
Yeah. 100%.
One thing, another thing I wanted to ask you is, do you have, I guess two things. Do you have any other, like some other plans you have for your own like YouTube stuff, and any ideas you're coming out with? And then also, what's the status report on the City Soda Club? Is that shit, she done, or what's going on?
Yeah, YouTube-wise, I really enjoy YouTube, you know? Like, I really want to do it a lot more. It's just like trying to figure out the time. I guess it's like sitting down and doing it, like, again, like the tutorial stuff is like, I don't know, it wasn't necessarily like buzzed to do it, or I have to come up with an idea of a tutorial that people haven't done, or like, you know.
Sure.
It's kind of a bit like, it's too clinical and educational. And I don't necessarily, I want to sit down and watch. Basically what I'm trying to get to a point is, what do I want to watch? When I sit down and I want to watch some creative content, you know, I want to watch something with a design lens on it. But what do I, I'm not saying that my recent video is anywhere near where I want it to be. It's more of a test of like getting to that point, you know. I'm still learning in the space and what I want to create, but I want to sit down and create content that I would want to watch, which is less informative, but still with a creative lens, creative angle, you know, creative storyline to it. But it's more easy watching, you know, it's easy to digest. You can sit home after a long day and you can sit down and just binge watch it, or You know, you sit down and just flick it on. You don't necessarily have to be so invested in the design world to watch it.
And why are you going to watch a tutorial if you're not going to do it then? You know, you're never just going to watch it for fun.
Like some of my mates are, you know, well, a lot of my mates were in the creative industries. They're not necessarily designers. You know, some of my mates work in fashion. Some of my mates are like art, you know, art, more art-based. And what is something that's in the industry? What are they going to watch? They don't want to sit down and watch me, you know, bang out a Photoshop tutorial. Like some people will take that away, and that's really helpful for a lot of people. And like, I get that, and that's good for the people that need it. But then there's this other content that I want to create.
I have an idea more too. So, you know how we were talking about making something? I don't know. That was like a while ago now. We kind of just like didn't do it or whatever. But I was thinking, so I did that video recently, the ranking the logos, right? Fast food. And it's all like US or whatever. And then this dude, Jack, from the Album Art Archive, I was talking to him and he said, like, you should do one about like UK. And I was like, I don't really like, maybe, but like, I don't really know like even what they are. So I was thinking we could do it like a duel, like Cam, you know, and talk about it together and make something like that.
Yeah. Big time. Yeah. Let's do it. 100%.
Yeah. Because you know, I don't know then I'll look at it unbiasedly. Cause I don't know. He was like, you got to rank like Greg's or some shit. I was like, I don't know what the fuck that is.
Oh yeah. Big time. Mate, Greg's is the place. I'm not joking. Greg's is, I love Greg's.
Okay, cool.
Sorry, I was probably a little bit too high for that.
Yeah, you're like, great, let's go. Yeah. All right, we'll plan that out then. And that'll be like something that I think could be fun. And also like, you know, you're not going to be like, fuck, we gotta do it, you know, or whatever. It'll just be like fun thing. But what about the Soda Club? I'm not going to, we can't see, let Soda you get Club, away from that one.
Can't defer that one. That's also taking a little pause, you know. I need to figure out that as well. Again, it's this idea of like spinning too many plates. Like,
and even if it's done, like it did what it did, you know?
It's not, it's not done. Right.
I'm trying to get you excited.
It's not done. It's still infancy. I don't even think it's started yet.
People have been saying it's dead. I've been hearing on the streets that
she's dead. It's done out. Yeah, nah, I'm washed. It's like I was done. No, I honestly, like, my vision for what it is in the future, this is more of just the intro. Like, I see it as being like a creative studio for multiple people to get involved. I see it as a long-term project.
I remember you telling me that last time.
Vibe, like, you know, like, I want to collaborate with artists. I want to have a roster of clients where I bring in, you know, I'm working on it as well, or I bring in people from different, from all over to work on projects for a bigger client. Ideally, I would have like a warehouse with like a studio shoot and a built-in bar, and people can come and work there. And like, that's what I've got in the future. It's a long way away, but it's not done. But I just think maybe the whole sharing thing maybe is like, it's just one of those things.
That whole idea is like done. I don't think it's your fault that it's done either. Like the idea of sharing, like, no one even cares about the person that shared it themselves, it seems like. So like, why are they gonna want someone else to do it?
I started it quite a few years ago, and it's like been a daily thing where we're sharing it, and it's built up, but it's just become this thing where it's just like, you're just sharing artwork for the fact of sharing artwork. It supports the person, but like, it's building you, but then like, I just felt like it was too, I don't know, it was almost too soulless. There was nothing more to it for me. Mm-hmm. Whereas like, if I'm going to want to work with other artists, or I want to support other artists, I want to do it in like a more authentic, real way. So that's why I kind of stopped it. Like, I want to collaborate with artists, or I want to like pick up a project and I'm like, okay, this artist will be right for it, that I know through City Soda Club, or like, this is the right person. I want to work with people through that way. Like, I just think there's also like a million and one other accounts that are sharing things every day, same format, same hashtags. I don't know. I feel like it's almost that format has run its course.
Yeah.
And I need to kind of figure out what the next thing is. It's definitely not done at all. It's still in its early days. I've got a lot planned for the future. You know, Zine 2 might come out. Who knows? But I wanted to work with people and support people in a different way now. And like, you know, so yeah, I'm not quite sure what's next exactly, but there is definitely a next, and it's definitely going to involve other people and supporting like a community of creatives.
Oh yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out how I can do that maybe in a bigger scale or a more intimate scale with people. Yeah, it's a long-term project. I don't see it. Yeah, I see it as a future project. This is like a long-term.
Right. That's long-term cool. Project, yeah. So. I mean, you're only in like phase one. I'm stoked to see what you do with it. I'm stoked to see what you do with the channel, getting back on your grinder at 4 a.m., waking up, recording videos or whatever you were saying in your video and whatnot.
I am a 7 a.m. guy now. Do you know what I mean? Like, my life's changed. I get up 7 and have granola. Like, things have changed for me, you know?
Yeah. You're on your, like, Gary V type shit.
No, I see those videos all the time. It's like, yeah, I'm up at 5 a.m. Like, I've taken 3 calls. You're not even out of bed
yet. Stocks.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, the market's closed. I'm out there doing press ups. Like, I'm not about that. Yeah. That's not happening, mate.
For real. But regardless, yeah, I'm stoked to check it out. And I wanted to thank you again for coming on. We'll get you out of here and get you to bed or whatever you're going to be doing after this.
Oh,
and,
yeah. I'll go to bed.
Everyone go check out Louis' shit if you don't already know about it on YouTube, Instagram, Louis Moss. And thanks again, man. Help me out in a little pinch.
Thanks for having me on again.
Thank you, everyone, and we'll see you next time. Peace out.